Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. As always, I'm your host, Thomas. And thanks for tuning in once again. Now, we're really thrilled with how the podcast is going, but we always want to continue improving, so just as many of you have been doing already, please keep sharing your feedback with us at getsleepy.com and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts to let us know how the podcast is helping you get a better night's sleep. Now, as I was discussing in the last episode, on my side of the world, we're very much still in the middle of our winter season. But tonight's story will offer a bit of a reprieve from the prolonged darkness of winter. It's called The Sunshine House. And speaking of sunshine, I wanted to talk about the lack of sun that we have in winter and how it affects us and affects our bodies. I think most of us notice the difference in ourselves during the winter months. Perhaps we get tired that little bit more easily with the lack of daylight. I think we all tend to feel the difference in winter where the days are shorter. We wake up in the morning and maybe it's still pretty dark outside, and then perhaps you go to work and by the time you get home it's dark outside again. So it becomes vitally important to try and get in a routine that regulates your body so that it knows when is the right time to get tired and when is the right time to be energized and ready to go. One way of helping yourself do this is by getting some sun during the day. Just trying to get yourself outside for at least 15 minutes into the sunlight. Especially in the morning, it can really help to set your circadian rhythm and allow your body to adjust. On a personal note, I know that I benefit a lot from getting out and doing some exercise as well. Whether it be going for a run, or going down to the gym, or playing a sport that I enjoy, these things all help to give your body and your mind the right indications. And of course, to tire yourself out that little bit more so that by the time your head hits the pillow, you're in the right place to hopefully get a good night's sleep. Now, before I hand over to my friend Simon, who's going to tell you tonight's story, let's just take a moment to make sure we're nice and relaxed. Start by putting today behind you. There's nothing more that can be done. And so imagine yourself putting everything down and letting go of any inner chatter. Take a moment to find a comfortable position, wherever you are. And once you're ready, take a big deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Feel how the weight of your body sinks into the bed whilst you're exhaling. Throughout this exercise and during our story, thoughts may come and go, and that's okay. When they arise, just gently bring your attention back to this moment. Visualize a single ray of warm sunlight. Whatever this light touches, warmth and relaxation are induced, dissolving any tension and bringing relief. Imagine this ray of light shining just on your toes. It feels warm. It creates space and ease as it spreads through your feet and up your legs to the waist and the abdomen. These warm rays melt away any discomfort. They continue spreading up your chest and back, moving into the shoulders and down the arms, and then reaching your hands and fingers. Now it spreads over your neck and your throat, massaging your vocal cords, as finally the light spreads over your head and face, covering every inch of your body, and your whole body feels relaxed and renewed. And now, Simon will tell you the story of the Sunshine House. We start in a dense green forest near a small town. Soft grey clouds are beginning to clear as a passing rain shower fades over the horizon.
Picture a single drop of rain, just one, heavy on the bottom and lighter on top, just about to drip from the needle of a spruce tree. The needle is one of many clustered tightly on a long brown branch. Together, they form a dark green cloak, covering the tree from tip to roots. Each needle holds its own translucent raindrop. The tree hangs heavy with droplets, which glisten when the sun peeks out from behind the heavy grey clouds above. Standing just beside the thick trunk of this particular spruce tree is Emily. And Emily believes. Emily started coming to this little patch of forest the first time she visited the Great Northwest with her cousin all those years ago. She was little then, and each tree a towering presence, beautiful in its largeness, but also a little intimidating. She used to crouch beneath the lowest branch she could find and give it a shake, laughing as the raindrops came pouring down over her head and face. She could always count on the trees to have their ready-made showers, as it was nearly always raining in this part of the world. It's one of the things Emily has always loved about this place. It's practically made of rain. Walking down the forest path, her hiking boots kick up patches of moss and leaves. As it turns over under her feet, she smells freshly fallen rain and new green growth. New green things always seem to be growing here. It's a wild place. Today, Emily is heading for the library. She's using the trail that crisscrosses behind most of the small town to get there from her cousin's house. She prefers walking amongst the trees rather than on the hard pavement. It's a cute town, full of brightly painted houses that stand out against the near constant grey of the sky. But to Emily, the woods are always better. She's going to the library for a very specific reason. Today is the day Emily has decided she'll finally find the Sunshine House. Like everyone who spent time in this town, she's heard the stories. Around the campfire every summer, neighbours talk about the magical house that can only be found by those who really, truly believe it exists. She's heard her cousin's friends whisper about the time they almost found it. She's heard the old fishermen boast about the time they definitely found it, but can't quite remember where it was. To Emily, it seems like everyone in this town wants to have found the house, but she's not convinced anyone actually has. That is, except for Mrs. Gunderson. Last week, Emily was walking to the tiny coffee shop just down the road when she saw Mrs. Gunderson peeking out her window. Her lace curtains were drawn, but the old widow was peeking at her from behind a tiny corner she'd lifted up. Emily waved. Mrs. Gunderson smiled and motioned for her to come inside. The widow's house was small and cramped, but cozy. Mrs. Gunderson offered Emily a cup of tea from an ancient Chinese teapot, decorated with tiny pink roses. It was good samovar tea, strong, sweet, and spicy. She let the flavours settle around her tongue before swallowing. Mrs. Gunderson had heard Emily was looking for the Sunshine House. Really looking for it, she said. Not just pretending to look, as most people did. And then Mrs. Gunderson said something that took Emily by surprise. I found it. Three simple words that for the first time in all the stories and all the campfire tales, Emily actually believed. I found it. It's real, Mrs. Gunderson said. You just have to look hard enough. And then she changed the subject to the always predictable weather. They sat together and chatted about the rain for another few minutes as Emily finished her tea. As she was getting up to leave, the widow patted her on the shoulder. I'd start at the library, if I were you, the old woman said. And with that, she ushered Emily out the door. Emily had spent the past week working on her aunt's fishing boat. But while she was pulling lines and swabbing the deck, her mind was at the Sunshine House. That's how she ended up here today, pulling open the heavy doors of the local library. The librarian is a friendly young man with brown hair and thick-rimmed glasses. He points Emily to the far corner of the room. It's there she'll find the maps. Behind the furthest stacks, she spots them. Rows and rows of carefully laid out maps of all sizes. Some are brown around the edges. Others are crisp and clean nautical maps with blue and brown lines for depth and islands. She flips through some of the newer-looking maps and shakes her head. This isn't where she'll find it. Then, down near her ankle, she sees the corner of a map sitting in the lowest drawer. She pulls it open, and what she finds nearly takes her breath away. It's an old brown map, crumbling near the top. It shows the town with its little houses in neat rows. It shows the harbour with tiny boats drawn in incredible detail, down to the sails and motors. It shows the shipping lane off to the right, heading to the next town hours away. It shows all the little islands she's come to know over the years from endless camping and kayaking trips with her family. But there, right in the middle of all the familiar landmarks, lays a solitary island she's never seen before. It doesn't bear a name, but is marked instead by a shape. It's a tiny, hand-drawn sun. That's it, she thinks. It has to be it. Judging by the distance, it should take a few hours to kayak there. If she leaves soon, she'll arrive before nightfall. She studies the map until she has it memorized, then pushes it back into the drawer. She walks home a bit more quickly than usual. She grabs a pencil and paper and scribbles out a note telling her cousin where she's going. From her room, she packs up her sleeping bag, canteen, stove, and everything else she'll need for the journey. Then she heads for the harbour. Her kayak is leaning up against an old shed by the water's edge. She sets it down on the beach with the front just floating on the surface of the water and then wedges herself into the seat. She secures her pack in front of her and uses her paddle to push off from the sand. It's calm on the water. There's even a rare break in the rain. The sky is still overcast, but the air is still and serene. She paddles out toward the nearest island. She listens to the sound her paddle makes as it gently taps the water. As her heart beats, she paddles. One, two, three, four, five, six. Her body relaxes as she falls into the rhythm. The boat glides smoothly over the glassy water. She feels the cool breeze swish her hair against her neck. The grey clouds cast soft shadows on the water. She watches the light dim as she paddles through a shadow and then brighten as she reaches the edge. The paddle is comfortable in her hand. She feels its weight between her thumb and fingers. It balances perfectly as she dips one end and the other into the water. In the distance, she can hear ravens chittering on shore. There aren't any birds overhead here, just the wide open sky. She reaches the edge of the first island. It's called Peach Island, for the way it glows a brilliant pinkish orange in one of those special sunsets after a summer rainstorm. To the left is Rocky Island. Islands here are often named for what they are. It's simple and straightforward. It makes it hard to forget, even after spending a day boating from beach to beach. She navigates her small kayak through the passage between Rocky and Peach. Then she follows the water between Jagged Island and Fisherman's Landing, which has an old abandoned dock. The Kettle Islands should be out ahead. But then, just to her left, out of the corner of her eye, she sees it. The tip of a small island, perched just behind the one she knows. This island shouldn't be here. In fact, it's never been here before. Or has it? Emily guides her kayak past the edge of Jagged Island and to a small outcropping of rock on the near side of the mysterious island. She sees a small black sand beach. She hears the familiar crunching sound of her boat finding the shore. She stands up, stretches her arms and legs, and hops out onto the dark sand, her feet sinking in slightly as the island takes her weight. She pulls her kayak up onto shore and finds a rock with a hole through the middle, perfect for securing her boat with a rope. She picks up her pack and follows the black sand. Like all of the islands here, this one is rocky and forested. The path leads to a narrow trail that winds back between the spruce trees. Emily takes a breath. Then another. In and out. In and out. This is it. She walks the path through the trees. It leads her deeper and deeper into the woods. The spruce trees towering overhead the way they did when she was a child. They're bigger here, she thinks. It smells of rain and freshly turned earth. Deeper into the woods she walks. To her right, she passes a hammock, strung carefully between two trees. It looks so inviting. A soft place to lay down and rest. But that's for later. She follows the trail, her feet falling softly on the damp ground. Pat, pat, pat. She walks and walks, breathing in and out. Pat, pat, pat. And then she sees it. It's bigger than she expected. A large white house perched on stilts at the end of the path. The Sunshine House. It's real. For the most part, it could be an ordinary house, except for the strange and wonderful shapes attached to it. Above the front door is a giant wooden cutout of a sun with a bright orange center and yellow rays radiating toward the roof. There's a face on the sun, carved with the same perfect attention to detail. It's fiercely awake, but welcoming too. On the left side of the house, on the second story, there's a large purple crescent moon. It's decorated with silver edges that cast a glow like moonlight onto the house. It too has a face, with eyes closed, sleeping. Dotting the wood and shingles, there are hundreds of stars, the size of Emily's palm, shimmering with their own light. Looking at the house, Emily knows she's supposed to be here. She was supposed to find it. It wanted her to. I believe, she whispers, to no one in particular. Perhaps she whispers it to the house. She walks up the whitewashed stairs to the front porch and pushes open the screen door. Inside, she finds a sitting room. The walls are painted crimson with a pattern of golden suns. She reaches out and traces a sun with her finger. The paint is smooth and warm to the touch. From the tip of her finger, she feels the warmth radiate up until it fills her arm, her chest, her legs, down to her toes. She's basking in the glow of a warm summer sun. She feels hot sand beneath her feet. Seagulls sing overhead. She smells briny seaweed and sun-baked rocks, and hears waves crashing in the distance. The sun warms her eyelids and her cheeks. She pulls her hand away from the wall and finds herself back in the room. How strange, she thinks. It was like a real summer afternoon at the beach. But she hadn't left the house. She walks through the hall to the first bedroom, painted bright green with little white flowers for trim. She doesn't hesitate to touch the wall here too. The smell of freshly mowed grass fills her nose, along with the delicate scent of wild flowers. She hears birds tittering in the boughs of a large tree. Its leaves whisper as they ruffle in the breeze. It's spring, she realizes. She pulls her hand back and walks to the next room, where she finds burnt orange walls decorated with leaves. As her finger brushes the paint, she smells the oaky, earthy scent of autumn. Leaves crunch on the ground beneath her feet. The breeze here is cool, with a touch of frost. The winter room is next. Emily reaches out to feel the ice blue walls with snowflakes on them. The snowflakes kiss her cheeks. A blanket of snow muffles the sound of icicles falling to the ground. It's crisp and clear and smells of cold and things that are new. How is it possible? She wonders. It really must be a magical house. She looks out the bedroom window and sees the sun has set. Emily is tired. She's glad she brought her sleeping bag. But there's one more thing she wants to see. Above her, the ceiling is dotted with stars on a deep blue background. The blue is so rich, it looks like velvet. There's a table in the corner of the room. She climbs onto the top and reaches her finger up toward the ceiling. As soon as she brushes up against a star, she feels weightless. Here, it's silent. Around her is a blue so deep, it's nearly black. Twinkling on every inch is a star, like a thousand diamonds surrounding her, above, below, to both sides. She's in the night sky. What a wondrous place. She pulls her hand back, taking one final glimpse of the most beautiful sight she's ever seen. She hops down off the table, walks back through the hall and out the door, which she closes behind her. Back on the path, she can hear the sounds of small animals heading for their burrows. She finds the hammock she'd passed earlier. It's the perfect place to catch some sleep before heading back to town in the morning. Emily unrolls her sleeping bag on the thick wool hammock. She climbs up and snuggles down into its warmth. Above her, the sky is clear, with no rain clouds in sight. The stars twinkle on their blanket of blue. She sighs, content. Emily found the Sunshine House. And now she understands. It's not for everyone, just those who truly believe.